The Conference Committee on Senate Bill 2370 will begin. I'm sorry about my voice. Why don't we start with Ms. Berezovsky kind of explaining the differences between the two bills.
Madam Chair and committee members, the Senate Section 2 and the House Section 1 are identical, and that provides, it makes it a misdemeanor for a person to sell or offer for sale either windows or windshields that have non-conforming glazing material on them, or no one can, excuse me, offer to apply that non-conforming level of window tint. What the Senate added, two additional sections. The first one, Section 1, provides that it's a misdemeanor for a motor vehicle dealer or lessor to sell or lease a motor vehicle at retail that doesn't comply with any of the statutory vehicle equipment and material requirements. And then on the Senate floor, there was concern expressed that what if somebody wanted to buy a damaged vehicle and fix it up on their own? Would this require the dealer to fix it up and raise the price? And so they added language on the Senate floor that would say that the vehicle could be transported without being put into operation if it doesn't comply with the statutory standards. In connection with that, the Section 3 repeals a narrower provision in existing statute that makes it a misdemeanor for a dealer or lessor to sell a vehicle that has non-conforming window glazing on it. So the Section 1 is a broader prohibition because it encompasses all of the equipment and material requirements in statute. And those provisions do not appear on the House side.
Okay. Ms. Boyd, could you just tell us a little bit about, you have a memo that the members should have, a little bit about federal standards and other state laws, just so we have a little background on this whole tinting issue.
Madam Chair, the memo dated April 14th is just a brief overview of some federal standards relating to tinting and neighboring states around Minnesota. First of all, they all reference VLT, visible light transmission, which this measures the light transmitted through the tinted glass. So the lower the number, the darker the allowable film. So as we go through, remember that the lower the number, the darker the glass will be. The federal standards are really, in looking into them, really only for commercial motor vehicles. And there are window tinting regulations for commercial motor vehicles. Tinting is allowed on the windshield and front side windows as long as the VLT is at least 70%. So there is tinting, but it is relatively light. But there are no restrictions on tinting of any other window in the vehicle of a commercial motor vehicle, so rear side windows or rear windows. State laws, just for comparison, a brief overview of Minnesota statute. There's no allowable level of tinting for a windshield in a motor vehicle. No vehicle window may be reflective or mirrored, and that any side window or rear window of the vehicle must have a VLT of at least 50%, so that, again, is relatively light tinting. There are exceptions in the Minnesota state statute for certain vehicles, such as the rear window of a pickup truck, the rear or rear side windows of a van, and for other certain specialized vehicles, vehicles used to transport human remains, limousines, police vehicles, of course. And just for comparison, some neighboring states and their tinting restrictions. First, Iowa states that windshields, front side windows, and front side wings may not be excessively dark and reflective, which they define in statute of having a VLT of at least 70%. So the tinting there is relatively light. There's no limitations on tinting for rear side windows or rear windows. Those can be as dark as one wishes, apparently. Michigan states that a motor vehicle may not be driven with any window application, reflective or non-reflective, on the windshield, front side windows, or the front side wings. You may have tint along the top, not more than 4 inches from the top of the window. But again, there are no limitations for tinting for rear side or rear windows. North Dakota any tinting, there is tinting allowed on the windshield, but it must have a VLT of at least 70%. Tinting applied to any other window in the vehicle must have a VLT of at least 50%. So a little bit darker on the rest of the car. But they do have a restriction that this, or they do have a condition that the restriction does not apply to any windows behind the operator, so rear side or rear window, if the vehicle does have outside mirrors on both sides, which is pretty much every vehicle. So effectively, there's no restriction on the rear windows in North Dakota. And South Dakota are a little bit darker allowed. Windshields, front side windows, and side vents must have a VLT of 35%, except, of course, the windshield is only above a certain line. There's only tinting allowed on not the whole windshield, but a certain line on the top of the window. And that rear side windows and rear windows can be quite dark with a VLT of at least 20%. And lastly, Wisconsin, tint can be applied to the windshield, again, above a horizontal line. They're very specific that it has to be indicated by the manufacturer of this line and marked A. And that if no such mark exists, tint is prohibited. So this is presumably about maybe the tilt or the shape of the windshield if the tint would be to interfere too much with driving, that would be prohibited on that type of windshield. Tinting on the front side windows should be at least 50%, and then rear side windows and rear windows, 35%. And there is another condition about side view mirrors, which changes the VLT a little bit. And on the bottom, there's just a comparison chart. If anyone has any questions?
Any questions?
And Chair, it appears that we're
Mariani.
That we're close to the Wisconsin standards here. Obviously, we're not the same, but very similar to Wisconsin's.
Mr. Chair, that is right.
I thought, though, that in Minnesota there's no tinting allowed on the windshield. So in Wisconsin, do they allow tinting on the windshield?
Madam Chair, they do allow tinting on the windshield, but only
above a certain line
on certain
line.
Windshields.
Okay.
Right.
The front side windows in Minnesota, all the rest of Minnesota windows are 50%. Okay. And Wisconsin is 50% in the front, but darker in the back, 35%. Okay. All right, we're going to take some testimony. I did receive calls from Mr. Gurdy from Solar Shield. If you'd like to come forward and tell us your concerns about basically what the original bill did was to, because we got letters from constituents who said they were sold. I don't know that it was your shop, Mr. I don't think it was. It was Z-Bart. A tinting level that under Minnesota law was illegal, and they got a ticket for it. And we found there was a loophole in the law that you could sell the tint, you just couldn't drive around with it. So if you would like to tell us your concerns and how you handle it under the current situation with the current law.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you for allowing me to come and speak with you today. I'm not a very articulate. I've a little out of my element here today, so forgive me if I stumble along.
That's fine. Just start by saying your name and who you
are. My name is Mark Gerdy. It's actually pronounced G-J.
Gerdy.
Yep.
Right.
G-J-E-R-D-E. Record. I own a small business in Minnesota. I've been in the window tinting industry for over 23 years. I've been in the automobile industry for over 35 years. So I'm real familiar with a lot of the glass terms and procedures, so if I say anything you don't understand, please ask me to clarify that. In regards to the reading of the different laws around the country, I did provide you with a sheet of what I intend to say today, which I'm at a loss to find right now. You forgive me a second.
And do we have this?
Is this one?
Am I the only one who doesn't have it? Have it? Yeah. Okay, proceed.
Okay, I'd like to speak to the, I think that the industry hasn't been represented very well in the current Minnesota state law, and I have some points here that I'd like to make in regards to the safety and security of window film. The first point I'd like to make is about the privacy and protection that window film allows. a person in the vehicle. The dark film provides a single person alone in a vehicle. Him or her may find themselves turning down a wrong street some night in a bad area. This film will protect, offer some protection. It's not readily noticed that there's a person alone, nervous, lost, you know, on the side road. Offers the edge of protection there. Also, darker films in the back of vehicles is beneficial to couriers that choose to use more fuel-efficient vehicles, small station wagons, those types of vehicles. It allows them to protect the cargo that they're carrying with them. Our current state law doesn't allow a person to do that. On the health issue, which is quite significant, and I might add that any one of these points could be about an hour-long seminar. I don't certainly want to go that long on you. But the benefits of window film have been known to, they're endorsed by the Skin Cancer Foundation, Lupus Foundation as well. We block high rates of UV, which protects people with these conditions. Along with vision issues, film eases suffering and light sensitivity, people with glaucoma. Sunglasses are not an effective way of doing this. Many sunglasses don't offer side protection and are distortive. Films are endorsed for this reason by many optometrists. I've also got a safety and benefits cost study and analyze that goes quite in depth about glares, the different types of glares. As we get older, the bright light and those types of things tend to affect us. For many good reasons, canine units have dark windows in the back to protect their dogs. We in the industry think this is a great idea, but we also should be able to protect our families and our children. We have now current legislation that restricts parents making sure that they have their children secured safely in car seats in the back of a vehicle. And most four-door sedans, what we've now done is turn the child backwards and they're facing a wall of glass. In a car accident situation can explode and cause quite a bit of harm, lacerations and injury to the children. So we think it's a benefit to have film on. Not only that, darker film provides a lot of solar heat gain protection for your children as well, along with UV protection. Just a ton of health issues are addressed in that particular instance alone. Film reduces the heat in the vehicle for overall better performance, less heat, less glare, shatter resistance. These are all major health issues. And addressing the area of security, studies have been done by law enforcement that do conclude that people will case parking lots, identifying valuables in your car. If you leave a purse, laptop, computer, you have a Garmin in there, they walk around and look, and they wait till nobody's around. They walk up, smash the window, grab your goods, and they're gone. Window film deters this. By having a darker film on the vehicle, it's hard for the thief to see inside your vehicle, which identifies where, so they can identify easily what they want to try to steal from you. Plus, the actual having film on the window, most thieves know that when you shatter the window, it doesn't just simply fall out of the way. The film will actually act as a barrier, keeping the broken glass between them and getting inside your vehicle. Again, they're going to target a vehicle that doesn't have film on it versus one that does, because they know that one with film on it's going to take them longer to get in the vehicle. They're going to have to now search for the vehicle, increasing their odds of being captured. 50%. I've personally actually been involved in this in the study with Minneapolis law enforcement that did find these conclusions, as well as one of the ideal tools for a thief is using inside a broken piece of a spark plug. You can throw it from a distance away from the vehicle. The spark plug reacts with tempered glass and causes the glass to shatter, and they're not even near the car. With window film on the vehicle, this prevents that from taking place. The window will not break. The UV protection is also very significant. This product we use in both commercial applications and residential homes a lot for this reason. Protects, again, dermatologists recommend a 98% or better UV protection. Any less than that is not adequate. Film offers, in most cases, most quality window films will offer a better than 99% UV inhibitor, which, protects your investment of your vehicle by having the darker window film reducing solar heat gain and UV, you're going to get more longevity out of your vehicle. We've all seen cars from down south that have come and the dashboards and the seats are completely rotted from the sun. Window film on that vehicle, that event doesn't take place. Shatter resistance is also a major safety as far as safety goes. In car rollover situations, tempered glass can shatter, similar to a small explosion. I think you've heard, if any of you have friends that have been in car accidents, and they talk about how they watch the glass explode in their face when on impact. Again, window film on a coating on the film, a film on the glass, will prevent that from happening. And because of that, and I actually have a good point here that I'd like to make. It is not uncommon for accident victims to be removing particles of glass from their skin months and even years after an incident. This, again, is addressed quite – I have a really interesting study here, Safety and Benefits to Cost of Tint Glazing Study, that I'd be happy to make available to anybody that would like to get this information from us. There's also in the same study, as far as safety goes, by the National Crash Test on a federal level organization, they've done studies that show that the reaction time for an operator of a vehicle with tinted windows is actually better than a vehicle with a 70% or lighter film in it. Because of the glare reduction, it allows your eyes to relax comfortably as you're traveling in your vehicle. Harsh glare from another vehicle oncoming or from the side, you're able to focus more readily and easily on that, increasing your reaction time. And this is true with a VLT, a light transmission, all the way down to 20% or even darker, down to 17%. Your reaction time is actually much better at those levels than with a 70% or higher film. Another significant thing, again, referring back to this cost analysis study that I have that I found very fascinating, window film affixed to the inside of tempered glass in your vehicle can reduce incidence of ejection during car accidents and car crashes. Studies indicate that as many as 600 people a year die from ejections from vehicles through side impacts in collision situations. And window film attached to tempered glass creates a safety net. A young child, for instance, in as little as a 14-mile-an-hour collision can, with his impact of his head in the side of the vehicle, can be ejected through that tempered piece of glass. And when you have window film on that same piece of glass, this does not happen. It'll keep the child within the restraints of the vehicle. To the economy, a cooler vehicle, the reason a lot of large SUVs have the deeper tint in the back is because there's a tremendous amount of solar load and glass in those vehicles. Manufacturing industry would not be able to keep those vehicles cooled down if they were unable to put the deeper tint in the back of the vehicles. So what it does for the industry is it allows them to run a smaller air conditioning system by reducing the solar load in the rear of the vehicle, that it makes that vehicle more fuel efficient by doing so. This also can be turned around and put into, if you choose to buy an SUV because of the privacy and protection of the back of your vehicle, it'll allow you the option of buying a more fuel efficient vehicle, a Camry, Prius, this type of vehicle that will actually stay cooler. The air conditioner will run less on the vehicle, which will give you better mileage. Early studies that are currently being done right now have indicated as much as 3 to 5 miles to the gallon, and in some cases as much as 30 to 40% better fuel economy out of vehicles with tinted windows versus ones that do not on hot days. In conclusion, I'd like to say again that any one of these subjects could go. There's numerous issues within this that need to have more research, I believe. What I'd like to do is, as being a member of the window film industry, I'd like to offer myself to legislators and like to address the current state law, which we believe to be unfair. You can easily look around the states around us, and they have much less restrictive laws. By adding more restriction to the current state law, it just puts more harm on the small businesses in your community, and I believe deprives your citizens of having pretty significant safety features in their vehicle. And with that, I would like to thank you for your time and open for any questions you might have.
So, Mr. Jurdy, what's the problem with the 50% in a current law?
The problem with the current 50% law is it's too light of transmission. It doesn't offer many of the benefits that I just talked about. frankly, the citizens would like to be able to go. You know, the clients that I deal with would like to have the option of putting a darker film on their vehicle. Many of my clients are complaining about the fact that this guy can buy an Expedition or a Caravan and have deep tint. They choose to buy a car, an Impala or a Camry, and they can't do the same thing. They feel they're held to a different standard. It's frankly unfair, current law.
So with a 50% VLT, you can still see into the vehicle?
50% light transmission is very light. It's very easy to see into the vehicle. Yes.
Any questions? Representative Mariani.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Mr. Jordy. First of all, very good testimony. You mentioned at the onset that this isn't what you're doing, and perhaps you're not good at it. I have to say, having been here many years, I wish more people offered testimony the way you did, which you
Excellent.
Really ordered it out and made it very concise. And I also want to commend you for having participated in the past with law enforcement. And so it sounds like you're also very sensitive to the concerns that law enforcement brings to the table relative to this issue. I have a very quick question, and that has to do with the nature of perhaps the evolution of window material in the production of automobiles. Have we seen a change in that? I mean, I vaguely recall that one of the differences between sort of modern windows and windows in the past is that, you know, that they're less shatter or more shatter resistance, that they break differently, that perhaps there are benefits that have already been built in. I know that none of that replaces perhaps the points that you're raising, but I'm just trying to get a handle on what the nature of glass and windows and auto windows have been and whether that's evolved or whether we're simply left to, as a remedy, only having to use a window tinting process to enhance current windows in automobiles.
Mr. Jordy.
The glass industry is actually pretty much evolving all the time. One of the things that's happened is in the early 30s through the 50s, they used a laminated glass, which is similar to what you have in your windshield today. It has a plastic material between the panes of the glass, and so there's two sheets of glass sandwiched over, and that's actually quite strong. The problem that they found as vehicles got older is that it started to delaminate and then caused a cloudiness or yellow distortion that went through the glass, which became a distraction to the driver. So they later, in the early 60s, went back to using a tempered glass, which is the type of glass that when it breaks, you'll see it shatter into, you know, thousands of little crystals of glass. The problem with that is that those little pieces of glass then become, they can cut you and become very hazardous to you. As far as today, some of the manufacturers on the high-end cars are going back to a laminated glass to try to kind of bring that back. But for now, right, the current law is they have the tempered glass that they install on the side. None of the films that we have or none of the glasses out there today really have any solar properties to them. As a matter of fact, the dark windows of an SUV are just a flat, dark material with very low solar heat reflection on them, so they actually get quite hot sitting in a parking lot. They'll build up a lot of heat. And the other problem with those SUV windows is that they do shatter as well. A lot of people don't think that they do, but they'll explode, and the amount of glass in a situation with an SUV is really quite extensive. And we've all seen in car intersections with all the glass laying all over the street.
Representative Mariani.
Madam Chair and Mr. Jordy, so tell me quickly about your practice. You of course understand that there's current law in terms of what's legal to drive and illegal to drive on our streets with Minnesota vehicles. So you have customers that come in and they ask you for, you know, certain treatments. What is your practice if a customer were to come in and say, hey, I really want tint on the front or I want 70% on the side? How do you handle that situation? Are you an informed provider of that, and do you provide full disclosure, et cetera?
Mr. Jordy.
Absolutely. My staff is completely trained in all the laws, versed in what is required with different state VLT laws. We explain to every single customer we deal with exactly what the laws are. At this point, it's still up to the customer to make the decision what it is they choose to put on their vehicle. We've chosen to not go past a certain point, which has cost us, you know, quite a bit of revenue, where people will just turn around and walk out the door because they're looking for the real dark film. Our shop just won't do that. And that's been our experience with it.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Jurdy, if we, now you are, you know, a well-known local business, and if we really crack down on you and people still want this service, do you think that they'll skirt it somehow? Or what? I mean, I imagine that if they can't come to you to have it done, is there another place they might go?
Mr. Jurdy?
The unfortunate thing that I see about the strict law enforcement regulations we currently have is the good tin shops, the good companies that are out there that employ people and pay our taxes and give our medical benefits to employees. We have a staff of up to 14 people during our busy season. What we're going to wind up doing is having to lay those people off. There just won't be enough business for us to continue on at the level we're at. What that will in turn do, I believe, is drive the window tinting industry underground. You're going to see tinners that are no longer employed that need to feed their families, and they're going to start working out of their garages and wherever they can discreetly. I think the practice of window tinting will continue on alive and well, but I think that you'll just put the reputable shops out of business by making the strict laws that we currently have.
Senator Murphy.
Well, Madam Chair, that's my point. This is already a law, and what we're trying to do here is just say that you got to abide by the law that's on the books. So it sounds like you run a reputable shop, and, you know, you say, well, you know, they want the darkest glazing possible, and we're not going to do that because that's against the law. And then they pick up and they go some other place that is going to provide an illegal service for them, and that's what we want to stop. You know, we're not trying to cut into your business, and black marketeers are going to happen. Doesn't matter what you do, but we want to make sure that the state patrol and law enforcement has the tools necessary to go get the black marketeers, and that's what this bill is about. If we remember, Senator Pappas, you had a constituent that bought a vehicle. It had glazing on it. Several weeks later, they get a ticket. For having too much glazing, they go back to the person that they sold the car to them and said, hey, you know, and then they always go, not our problem. Well, those are the morons that created the problem to begin with, and that's what we're trying to stop here. We're not trying to rewrite the law, because I can tell you right now, law enforcement is going to get up in a second, and they're going to go, the standard is good the way it is. And that's the way I'm voting. The standard, in my opinion, is good the way it is, and preferably I like the Senate bill because it puts the onus where it belongs. Now, if somebody wants to deal in illegal material, and whether it's window glaze or dope, it's illegal, and we shouldn't condone that. And that's why we put Section 1 in the Senate bill that just says that, you know, these motor vehicle dealers – you know, they can't offer for sale vehicles that they picked up that had window tinting that's illegal on it. Now, if they want to strip the window tinting or sell it through one of their, I forget what it's called, but it's where they exchange mass quantities of vehicles every day. Yeah, the auctions. You know, and send them on out of state, send them some other place where they allow some of this heavy tinting to go on, that's fine. But, you know, here in Minnesota, we have a standard. The state patrol and law enforcement have worked on it, and I'm perfectly comfortable with staying with them. And I like the Senate language a lot better because it does have that one section in it that says the dealers are responsible. And Representative Mariani, here's the reason why I take the hard stand, is that we've got a couple dealers down in southeastern Minnesota who routinely have sold windows or automobiles with windows that have too much tint on it. And you know, when the young person gets the ticket and they go back down to, I'm not going to say the dealership, but maybe I ought to, then maybe they'd quit doing it. But so then the state patrol trooper goes over and they says, you know, you can't be selling these vehicles like this. And once again, I didn't sell that vehicle with that tint on the windows. Prove it. Prove I did. And the only thing they have is the word of the person that bought the car versus the word of the person who sold them the car. And, you know, if we've got standards, we've got to maintain the standards. And if we go after some of the black marketeers, that means your business is going to improve because the black marketeers aren't out there.
Mr. Jurdy, did you want to say anything?
Yes, I would, actually. That speaks exactly to my point. The restricted law in the state of Minnesota, dealerships are a business that buy and sell vehicles all over the country. Many of their vehicles are coming out of Florida, the East Coast, California. And the current law we have now does create an extra hardship for these car dealerships. If we had a more consistent law with our neighboring states and other states around us, for instance, the numbers that I have, 46 other states allow you to have darker film in the rear of a vehicle. And now if I'm a dealer and I buy at auction a group of vehicles to bring here to be marketed in Minnesota, there's a good chance that many of those vehicles are going to have illegal by Minnesota standards film on them. And by making them have to spend the extra money to remove that film, and now the current law that you're putting in place will actually make them have to haul those cars on tow trucks instead of using retired drivers, which most of them do. They shuttle around the cities, and they pick up cars at the auction, and they bring them to the car dealerships. Now that action is going to be illegal because the dealer has not been able to bring that vehicle in and make it legal to Minnesota standards. I would argue that having a fair law more consistent with the rest of the country would take that hardship away from car dealerships. As far as the person you discussed getting the ticket, again, with a less restrictive window tint law, that person would have never gotten that ticket because there'd be if there was a fair law in place.
Representative Cornish.
Madam Chair, sir, you know, a lot of your testimony was really good, and I don't have an argument for it, but this law has been like this a long time, and it's not just the dealerships, it's the tinters. And my son's a state trooper in Lake Crystal, and he called me night before last, and he says, Dad, I know you've got a bill coming up on tinted windows. And he said, I just pulled one over. It was just really ridiculous. I knew in an instant it was illegal, and when he checked with the driver operator, the young person said, I just took it in and asked him to tint it. It's not my fault. And he says, well, you know, you should really know. But the tinting shop tinted it way darker than it should have been. And that's all we're trying to do. It's impossible in this hour or another hour, even a day, to sort through this menagerie of laws we have. They're all over the board, side windows, back windows, windshields, different formulas, front side, back side. It would just be impossible to do. And all this bill we were trying to do is hold the tinters accountable, not trying to cut into your business. You're probably a good man, good business, but we want to stop the illegal tinters all. We don't want to have anybody laid off. And we get that in a lot of the bills we pass. We have to look at, you know, public safety versus that, too. So just a comment, nothing against your business, but we just want to hold the illegal tinters accountable.
Senator Roebling.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, the awkward part of the situation here is that the underlying issue is not addressed in the current bill, and that is, do we need to review the standards at all and maybe look and fall in line a little more with our neighboring states? And but yet I don't know that they can be addressed because that's not even in this section of law that we're looking at right now. And so, but I do think that, and I know law enforcement is coming up, but we are out of sync. And as was mentioned, these vehicles don't necessarily stay in our state. And they're coming in from our neighboring states in South and North Dakota, for example, here. You could pretty much have a pretty dark tint, and even Wisconsin is much darker than ours. And if they have side view mirrors, it's not as restrictive yet. So it's, I don't know why or when we last looked at this to see if it's necessary, but I think that's something that should be reviewed.
Senator Murphy, and then I'd like to take the next testifier.
Madam Chair, and Representative Cornish, I think you said it well. You know, this guy's a legitimate business owner, but we have to protect our law enforcement people out there like your son. Now, you know, the rest of the country can do what they want, but we're in Minnesota. And if the rest of the country decides to jump off a cliff, are we going to follow them? You know, I look at some of this tenting, and I've been out on the road with troopers a lot. And I can tell you that when you walk up to a vehicle and you can't see in it, you know, it's disturbing. And, you know, I just really feel that we need to stay with law enforcement on this for the time being. But, you know, if you want to look at this issue later, all you got to do is look over at the State Patrol and say, hey, you guys talk with these guys and talk about the standards and come back next year and let us know what's happening. And, you know, the State Patrol is great to work with. And, you know, if Mr. Jurdy. If Mr. Jurdy works with the State Patrol, he seems like he's done a lot of research on this, and they can sit down and maybe talk about some of the things. Maybe we are behind. Maybe we're ahead of the curve, too. There could be that. 46 other states may have just capitulated to political pressure. And I don't want Minnesota to go down that road. I still like our language. Just tell the State Patrol and law enforcement to work with the window glazing folks and let us know what they come up with next year. And
okay, Mr. Jurdy, and then we're going to hear from the State Patrol.
We are very interested as an industry to sit down with the law enforcement community and address their concerns. The preliminary data that we have found, however, there is no statistical data that says that darker tinted windows on a vehicle creates more of a hazard for law enforcement. I can comment to cities like Kansas City and Miami, where they have virtually no enforcement of window tint violations. They have no more incidents of trouble with tinted windows on vehicles than anywhere else. So I would, you know, one of the things that I would like to do is work with law enforcement and address and actually look at the statistical data. To me, it's a shame that we are overlooking the incredible benefits, safety benefits for our citizens. I think the very first issue that I pointed out is huge with a single woman alone in a vehicle that's in a wrong area. If we can protect her from being abducted and having harm done to her, I think that's more of value than there is of risk to law enforcement.
And Madam Chair and Mr. Jurdy, it'd probably be a better investment if she got the navigator system so she didn't get lost. Okay. I mean, look, I don't know. I'm a barroom lawyer, so I can argue anything.
All right. Okay, if Major Mike Aslison from the State Patrol, if you'd like to come forward. Thank you, Mr. Jurdy. We'll call you back up if we have any questions. Major Aslison, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Mike Aslison. I'm a major with the State Patrol. I've been a state trooper for 33 years, and I want to say thanks on behalf of law enforcement. I'll get to that. But I really do appreciate being able to speak to some of the issues that you're discussing in this committee hearing. I've got some windows along, I've got a tint meter, I've got some pictures, but in the interest of time, I'll try to keep my remarks fairly pointed and concise, and then, of course, stand for any questions. This part of the reason it's nice to be able to talk with you is to help explain why this is such a big deal to us, and I think to our state. But why we are so passionate about this law, and it's not just law enforcement. It's anybody that drives a car, any pedestrian. So I'll try to divide my remarks up. Law enforcement and then just sort of general public safety. We really have two requests, and I'm here representing about 600 state troopers, and I don't have the right to speak for the sheriffs and the chiefs and the MPPOA, but we're all united on this issue. We all feel strongly about it. Police unions feel strongly about it. There's not many topics that you don't have some debate about. This one, there's no debate. We feel very, very strongly about it. It's an important public safety law. One of the things that we don't want to see happen is a weakening of the law. Some of the previous speakers' comments, Okay, there's some valid points, but we do allow tinting. Our squad cars have tinting from the factory. Probably the majority of the vehicles driven by people in this room have tinting. We allow up to 50%. Really, it's pretty generous when you start looking at what happens at night, and that is the key. So one thing to consider is we're driving down the roads, driving down the streets. We've got kids on bikes. We have pedestrians. We have motorcycles, which, by the way, motorcycle fatalities are going up. You probably know that. And the thing we hear from motorcycle riders is we're tough to see. People in cars don't see us doing a lot of different things. And yet we're going to put tint on to interfere with their ability to see. You don't need a lot of statistics. This is one of those garage logic kind of things. We don't put sunglasses on at night to drive. When we have motorcyclists that use tinted eye protection at night, we cite them, and rightfully so. They can't see what they're driving into. The other thing that we don't think about a lot, but...
Mr. Asselson, I don't think anybody would advocate tinting the windshield or the front windows. I think the issue is more, is there a safety hazard for law enforcement if the rear window and the back windows are tinted? Because I don't think any state allows any kind of significant tinting in the front of the car. So just to clarify that, you don't have to worry about that.
Okay, thank you. And that, part of the reason I wanted to comment on that, there was some discussion about perhaps we're too strict in our 50% standard. But point well taken, and I'll move on. The other thing is, even out of side windows, that eye-to-eye contact that we have with pedestrians and other drivers, kind of that, do we see each other? We don't think about it, but I mean, it's fairly important. Moving on to the officer safety piece, it is critical. As I said, we're united on this. Last year, just our agency alone, we stopped over 356,000 drivers. Most of those stops, in fact, almost without exception, are made with one trooper, usually in the middle of nowhere without a lot of backup. Sheriff, city police, really the same problem. And when you walk up, if you take a look at some of these pictures or these windows,
so we can pass them around,
and ask yourself, do I really want to walk up to that car in the daylight and then add nighttime to it? And it is hazardous. It's absolutely hazardous. The other thing that last year, just our agency was involved in three shootings following traffic stops. We are approaching people who are often great people, but some are not. Some are armed. Some want to hurt us. And we just really appreciate the legislators' support of this law because, as one trooper told me years ago, they passed this for us. This is an important law that they provided to keep us safe. Here's just one of many stories. Trooper Brian Carey, one of our young troops, came here from Indiana. He's working in Eveleth. He ends up stopping a driver, daytime hours, a little bit of mist, and he stops this driver knowing that he's got a felony warrant, has no idea the guy's armed. Speed the tape ahead a little bit, and this is all on tape. The driver is actually holding on to a revolver that's loaded, and all of a sudden, Carey realizes, my God, the guy is pulling the gun out of his jacket with intent to kill. At least that's the belief. And we came out of that event pretty well in that the suspect was shot, our trooper was unharmed. But I've always wondered, that's just one of many examples, but I've always wondered, what would have been the outcome if the trooper had not been able to see within the vehicle on those side windows? And
you're talking about the rear side windows or the front side windows?
Both. And that's part of the point, is that once you get to where you're face-to-face with the driver, I don't mean to be dramatic, but oftentimes that's too late. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, when law enforcement stops vehicles, one of the reasons that we want to have some idea what's going on, the hiding of contraband, the switching of drivers, are they concealing a gun, are they obtaining a gun? By the time you're at the driver's door, all those warning signs that we train on and that we value, they're gone. The opportunity's just gone. Now, one can say, well, what about when you walk up to a cargo vehicle or a semi? Okay, well, we understand that. There's special precautions that have to be taken in those vehicles because you can't help how they're designed. These alterations to vehicles, last year, we stopped, we cited 5,600 drivers for window tint. We issued warnings to 16,500. So well over 21,000 people. We can't stay ahead of it. And when we are talking to people, yes, there are some who have a legitimate need, as the previous speaker said, and there are provisions for that. There's exemptions. You've provided a prescription defense, so to speak, for this law. Most of the people that want tint are doing it because it's, for whatever reason, their desire for the vehicle to look that way. It's a fashion thing. We can't stay ahead of it, and we're constantly in the middle of this battle between applicator and customer. And cops and legislators, none of us like being painted with a broad brush, so I'm not trying to do that to the vendors. But almost all the stories are just like Representative Cornish said. I went to the vendor, is what we're told. I went to the vendor, I paid good money, I said, just make it as dark as you can without being illegal, and now you're giving me a ticket. Constantly see that. And so I think that there are a large number of vendors, and that's based on not just we think, we followed up, large number of vendors who knowingly put on the illegal tint, and again, we just can't stay ahead of it. It's just the problem is getting worse. As for other states, I've gone to different gone to the National Academy and Staff and Command in Chicago, where you're going to school with cops from all over the country. I can tell you that law enforcement officers from other states, particularly the southern states that have no restrictions, they're envious of our law. They said, God, if we could just have some restriction on tint. And they have good reason to. There's an account, we can pull it up, get it on the internet. There's an account of a Texas officer not terribly long ago involved in a pursuit, walks up to the side of the car, side window again, doesn't even see that the person in there is holding a weapon. The officer shot and killed. And again, that's not to be overly dramatic, but that is why this is such a big deal to us. I think that in the interest of time, I'm going to end my remarks. But please, don't reduce the 50%. I sort of beg you, when you think about you're the people that are putting those officers out there to do a job. We just are asking for the continued protection. And then now give us some help by keeping the vendors from, as Senator Murphy said, putting on what's not legal to start with. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Asselstyn. Senator, Representative Mariani.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Major, for your testimony. Very quick story. I was on West 7th about a year ago as a city cop, and I was tired, and I wanted to get home quickly, and I zoomed out of the light, and, you know, I was driving a little bit too fast. And I pulled up to the next light, and a police officer pulled up next to me. Well, I had zoomed past the police officer and never saw him. That's how tired I was. And I thought, oh, man. And I looked over, and we both had our windows up, and he looked at me, and so we made that eye contact, you know, and then he just sort of signaled, you know, so I'm like, I rolled the window down, and he properly chastised me, and then just said, look, you know, slow down, you know. I said, yes, yeah, yes, of course. And so anyway, that issue of eye contact is important. That actually leads to another issue for me, that it seems to me, Madam Chair, members, that the issue with tinting is also, it's important for law enforcement in terms of their ability to do their work effectively and also for their safety, but I would argue it's also important for the safety of the public. You know,
that's right.
What you don't want is erroneous decisions made in a brief period of time that could wind up with a tragic consequence for someone who isn't doing anything wrong. But, you know, I have friends who are law enforcement officers, you know, and they have absolutely a right to protect themselves and guard themselves, and they're often called to make these kind of decisions, and we certainly hope they're all good decisions, but you can quickly see a scenario where there's a misinterpretation of what's happening, hindered by, you know, the inability to properly see what's going on. Madam Chair, it seems to me that, you know, regardless of the level that we prescribe and how we prescribe it in Minnesota law, that wherever that level is, it seems to me logical that there be an alignment between what the state expects of its applicators and what it expects of people, you know, driving out on our roads. And right now we don't have that alignment. I thought Senator Murphy spoke very eloquently to the importance of that. And frankly, that's all this bill does. And it doesn't mean that nothing in this bill says that you can't have the conversation that Mr. Jordy wants to continue to have and that the major wants to have and others. relative to, you know, do we make this more stringent? Do we make it less stringent, et cetera? The point is that there's an alignment that happens between the applicators and what the law expects of our drivers. And I know that Senator Murphy made an eloquent argument relative to Section 1 of the Senate bill. You know, the issue for the House, if I can speak briefly for my colleagues here, is that, quite frankly, we've not vetted 169.47 through 169.75. I think there are lots of logical good things that are in there, Senator Murphy, in terms of important features and safety features in our vehicles. But we just haven't had that conversation. We haven't also had the conversation what it means, the language on line 113 to 114 in terms of the off-premise, you know, ability here. And so I'm, Madam Chair, I'm uncomfortable at this point to proceed with the adoption of the Senate language, but I want us to adopt what we have both in both houses where there is strong acceptance of. And so with that, Madam Chair, I would
Before you make that motion, Ripson Mariani, Senator Murphy has just left the room.
Okay.
And I did want Ms. Schlander to testify just for a brief minute about that Section 1, but I did want Senator Murphy to be here. So, Katie, would you ask him to please come back in? Thank you very much, Major Oslison.
I can tell another story, Madam Chair.
Another ticket you got? Almost got?
Yeah.
I could tell a story on Senator Anderson when we were driving up to Duluth. She got pulled over for speeding on Highway 23. Didn't know there were state troopers on 23 going to Duluth. They're everywhere. But he gave her a warning.
Oh, I remember many years ago I was in Iowa, so I can pick on, you know, openly on Iowa. And I was not on the interstate, but I thought I was on the interstate, so I was doing the interstate speed, and jolly Iowa State Patrol, or local, I can't remember, pulled me over and asked me what my speed was, of course, right?
You're gonna
ask that question,
you
establish it, case closed, you know? I said, well, yeah, I'm doing the, you know, the speed, you know, for
65,
yeah,
whatever it was.
And he says, well, yeah, it's too bad for you because you're not in the interstate here. So I pled, but to no avail.
Why do we feel compelled to confess our sins?
Yeah, especially when the mics are on.
Or tell on our friends.
We're just all honest.
I think they make for funny stories. Well, there was the time I got a speeding ticket crossing the High Bridge. The High Bridge had just
that.
Been
I was actually thinking
built.
About that.
I was going to my precinct caucuses, and I was rushing around doing my – and I think I was going 45, and it was 30 on the High Bridge. And the next week, they adjusted the speed to 45.
Yep. Oh, no. Did you challenge
right.
it?
I can't recall what I did. But, you know, because they were – they had just opened the bridge, and they were kind of figuring out what the safe speed needed to be, and we started low. What happened to Senator Murphy?
I think Senator Robles should tell us the story.
Yeah.
Never had a speeding ticket.
Good for you.
I worry about going too slow, Madam Chair. I'm always worried about getting that, but so far so good on that.
I always wondered what you did, because this happened to me where my blinker light burnt out. And, well, you're driving when this happens. And I heard this little click, 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 click sound. I actually didn't know what it was because it never happened to me before. But I still had to get home and ask my husband, of course. You know, who then could replace the light. But on the way there, I got stopped for not signaling.
Oh.
That one I did. I did challenge. I went into the referee. I brought the burnt-out blinker and told her I'd replaced it and got it dismissed.
I remember one time my husband got a speeding ticket when our whole family was in the car and our son was only about 3 or 4 sitting in his little car seat in the back. And when the trooper came, he just burst into tears. Oh. Don't put my dad in jail.
Oh, that's a really good story.
Well-trained kid.
So we were going on a camping trip, and he wanted dad with.
Now, did you have an issue then?
Well, I wonder if he got pulled away with an emergency. He's just going to... We have to move on here. You've got a floor session.
We do.
Ms. Schlander, why don't you go ahead and tell us your concerns about Section 1.
Sure. Madam Chair and members, my name is Alyssa Schlander. I represent the Minnesota Auto Dealers Association. Of course, we're the trade association that represents all of the new car dealers in the state of Minnesota. And I just wanted to clarify our position on this bill. We are not seeking a change in the current law. And, of course, the current law says that it's illegal to drive a car with illegal tint, and it's also illegal for us to sell a car that has illegal tint. That's current law. All this bill is doing is saying you can't apply tint that's too dark, and we're totally fine with that. But
so
Section 1
the
of
House
the
version, right. Okay.
Right, and that's the House version. But in Section 1 of the Senate bill, that's gone just a step farther, and it said that the dealers can't sell vehicles that have equipment that may be out of compliance with a whole host of Minnesota laws, including the tint, which is already illegal for us to sell that way. And we're fine with the current law, but what Section 1 does is it adds a whole bunch of other equipment laws in there, and some may make sense and some may not make sense. Headlamps, lights for parked cars, horns, sirens, bug deflectors. And so it just seemed to us that, to have the ability to sell a used vehicle as is, which is currently what we're able to do, it just kind of makes more sense. If we have to either make those repairs at the dealership or the consumer has to incur the cost of towing the vehicle off the lot when the car would otherwise be in drivable condition, it just really is adding some unnecessary costs for consumers and I understand what Senator Murphy is saying about a consumer buying a vehicle that has tint that's too dark, but that is already current law, and we're not seeking to repeal that or go back on that at all. We understand that there is a reason for that. But to add in these other sections of law that are referenced in Section 1 of the Senate bill really, really adds costs for consumers in a way that doesn't really address what Senator Murphy is concerned about. And, just in addition, I would just say we had a conversation with law enforcement before, and we do share their concerns about how to enforce Section 1 of this bill, because it seems to us, in addition to adding cost to consumers, it's going to add the cost of, some litigation between us and customers saying, you sold it to me this way. No, we didn't. I think we're creating more problems than we're solving with Section 1. But just to be clear, we support the House version of the bill. We're not seeking changes to the tinting regulations or our ability to sell vehicles that have tint already on them. We're fine on the glazing requirements and the tinting requirements, but just Section 1 of the bill is a little problematic for us.
And Mr. Straczynski was here, but
yes.
He had to leave.
Yes, that's right.
Do you know... Was he representing also the auto dealers, or?
Mr. Straczynski works for us, yes.
Okay. All right. It didn't have anything to do with antique cars. Or
no,
anything.
No. He's with us on this one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Representative Cornish.
Madam Chair, Senator Murphy, it's also problematic with me, the Senate language. What you were talking about is already in law. It is already illegal to sell a window or a vehicle with illegal window tint, and they're just repeating it that at the first part of that. And then the second part, 113 through 114, it's kind of complicated. It talks about transporting it off the lot, and then the repealer language on the bottom, it's a lot simpler to what we want to get at it with the House language. It's just what I'm trying to say, I guess.
Well,
Sam Murphy.
Madam Chairman and Representative Cornish, 16947 is the chapter about unsafe equipment. And now we're talking about vehicles that are not roadworthy, so why do we want them Why do we want them out on the road? There's something wrong with them is what the issue is. And it says right here, it says it's unlawful and punishable as herein after provided for any person to drive or for the owner to cause or knowingly permit to drive on any highway, any vehicle or combination of vehicles, which is in such unsafe condition as to endanger any person. So, and then it goes on, it says, you know, it talks about some of the equipment, but, I mean.
So, Senator Murphy, are you talking about that there's, this is actually parallel to what we're trying to do to make the law that if you can't drive with a legal tint, you shouldn't sell with a legal tint. If you can't drive with illegal equipment, you shouldn't sell with illegal equipment. Is that your point?
Not only the illegal equipment, but the unsafe equipment too, Madam Chair.
Or unsafe tint.
Yeah.
Right.
If the vehicle has no brakes, you don't want it going off the lot. If it doesn't have headlights and it's 5:30 in the afternoon in the middle of winter, you're going to need headlights. If the brake lights don't work, well, you need those. I mean, there's a whole list of safety concerns, and, you know, maybe the House needs to have more time to kind of work through that, and I can understand that. The underlying cause of the bill was Senator Pappas's constituent that was not reparated because of this illegal window tint that was put on. I threw this on to get the subject kicked into high gear. If the House isn't going to, you know, want to take that, that's fine. We can, you know, I don't want to negotiate Senator Pappas's bill for her, but, you know, if
that's... Sam Murphy, do you want to move the Senate version?
Well, it doesn't look like we got enough votes, Madam Chair, and I can count.
All right.
One, two, three. All right.
We need two votes on each side.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then. Is there anyone else that would like to testify at all on the issue before us? Okay, then Representative Mariani.
Well, Madam Chair, Madam Chair, let me move that we adopt the House language, and then let me just speak to that very quickly. And let me just say that I am challenged in the good sense, you know, what Senator Murphy, you know, has laid out in Section 1. Of the Senate. What I had started to say earlier is that, frankly, the issue for the House is that we've not been able to vet that language through yet. And I think that it deserves that kind of level of carefulness. I know that Representative Cornish and I spoke about the language on 113 and 114, and Senator Murphy gave a brief description of what his intent was relative to that language. But I think we need to have a look to let that percolate a little bit more in terms of what could be unintended consequences, perhaps relative to that language. Mm-hmm. And so
it's probably similar with the underlying law. Is there are some concerns about the underlying law? If it's fair, frankly, if you don't, I believe if you don't have fair laws, then you can often create lawbreakers because people just don't see the logic in the law and. I think that would deserve a good discussion about on both sides. Sounds like there's some safety issues, health issues on both sides of whether we should allow darker tinting or not. And that does need, I think, a larger discussion.
And so, Madam Chair, we obviously do have language with both houses. You know, we're in agreement of its importance, and I think we should take advantage of that and move forward with that language at this point. So.
So the House is moving the House bill. Our Representative Mariani is moving the House bill. Senator Roebling.
And I won't debate that because Section 1 had a difficult time on the Senate floor. I think there was a roll call vote on it, an extensive debate. It was a nonpartisan issue. There were people on both sides that were concerned about that provision. Mm-hmm. And so I can understand them not wanting to go back with it with no discussion on it already. It would be contentious.
Yeah, Madam Chair, that's
Senator Murphy.
That even for me, that'd be asking for a lot. Madam
He's
Chair,
I'm policy bill.
Yeah, I'm perfectly comfortable with the House language. That's fine.
All those in favor of the House language, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. We have a conference committee report. Thank you all very much for your patience. And
thank you, Madam
the
Chair.
Conference
Thank you, Madam
committee
Chair.
Is adjourned.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, the State Patrol, I mean, you directed the State Patrol.